My name is Garland Robinson. In Hebrews 11:1 we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's the beginning of that great faith chapter of the Bible. We read in verse 3 that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Also in this chapter are listed many great heroes of faith, and every one of them serving God. And also in this chapter are a lot of valuable lessons that we all could learn and profit by. That is, when we walk by faith and we live by faith. Faith must be the center of the Christian's life. It's by faith that we understand our origin. It's by faith that we understand our purpose in this world. And it's by faith that we understand our destiny as well. Faith is the motivation that impels us toward Christ and toward God. And faith is the shield that protects us from Satan's attempts to turn us from the service of the Lord. So in this faith chapter of the Bible, Hebrews 11, let us turn to it and study some of God's descriptions of faith for our lives. For one, we read in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Because we are saved by grace through faith that we read about in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, we learn that faith is necessary if we would be acceptable to God. Paul writes back in Romans 5 and verse 1, "Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And Jesus, speaking of the promised Messiah of the Jews, said, "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." John 8 and verse 24. So faith in God, faith in Jesus to be the Christ, God's Son, is absolutely necessary for salvation. In introducing the means of our salvation, the apostle wrote in Romans 3, 23 to 25, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." What do you now trust to take away your sins? Your goodness? Your works? If so, then you're going to be lost. The only thing that can cleanse us from sin is the blood of Christ. So through faith in His blood, we're saved. There can be no other Savior but Jesus Christ, and He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, Hebrews 7 and verse 25. The Bible tells us that faith comes by the hearing of God's Word. How do we know where the world came from? Well, faith answers in Hebrews 11, 3, by the Word of God. We read in Genesis 1, 1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." We believe that God's the Creator because we can read it in His Word, and that Word is established by the evidence of design. As He stated in Romans 10, 17, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." There's really no other source of true faith. Jesus said that we believe because of the Word. And of His miracles, John wrote in John 20, 31, "These are written that you might believe." Our access to God is revealed by Jesus in John 6, verse 44 and 45. He said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." By the hearing and learning of God's Word, we are enabled to come to Him through Jesus Christ. That's the reason Jesus commanded, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. God calls us to salvation, and He does so by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. While many look for other calls and think the Bible is simply a dead letter, God tells us in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 that the brethren there had received the word of God, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. From that word comes faith, and through that word, the believers are empowered by His working. Now, there are two parts to faith described in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. One, we must believe that He is, and two, we must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If we would please God, we must believe that He exists. And there's plenty of evidence to prove that. We look at the universe, and we read in Psalm 33, verse 6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." And then in verse 9, "He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." And why did God make the world and us? Well, we let the apostle answer that in his sermon on Mars Hill. Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 24, we read about God making the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, and that He has made of one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. He tells us there that those people, that includes us, must seek after God. God made the world, and He made us. And if we would please Him, then we've got to believe that, and we've got to search after Him. But also acceptable faith has a second part. That is, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And far too many people overlook that part. But examples are listed around this very statement in Hebrews 11 and 6. Notice in verse 4, "By faith Abel offered unto God." In verse 7, "By faith Noah prepared an ark." Now what were they doing? They were seeking after God. When God told them what to do, they did it because they believed He is a rewarder. God, from His earliest dealings with men until now, has always rewarded those who did what He told them to do. And He's always punished those who refused to do what He told them to do. When Peter was sent to preach to the Gentiles, he said, "God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him." Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. And that's the exact point that's made in Hebrews 11, 6. So those who believe God is must also believe that God is a rewarder and that He will, by faith, do what He has promised. One of the characteristics of acceptable faith, true faith, is revealed in Hebrews 11 and verse 8. We read, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance," now notice this, the Bible says, "he obeyed." The same principle is at work in the case of Abel and Enoch and Noah. By faith they did what God said, they obeyed. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." To have the faith to call Him Lord is one thing, but to have the faith to do what He says is quite another. Faith that saves is not alone. It obeys. As we read in Galatians 5:6, "Faith which works by love." And unless faith obeys, it can never make one acceptable to God. We read, "Faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Faith without works is dead. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. We read that in James 2 in verses 17 to 24. A dead faith can never save, and until faith leads to obedience, it is just as dead and barren as it can be. That's why the apostle wrote in 1 Peter 1:22, "Ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth." Now, if we would follow faithful Abraham, then by faith we need to obey God just as Abraham did. Now, the last verse before chapter 11 in Hebrews says this, "Ye are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul, Hebrews 10:39. The faith unto the saving of the soul is described in the chapter that follows, that is, chapter 11. It is faith in God, that He is, and that He rewards those who seek Him. It is faith that comes by the hearing of God's Word. It is faith, then, that is willing to do whatever God requires. We read in Hebrews 5:9 that Jesus became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. That is exactly what He is still asking us to do, that is, obey Him. He said in Luke 6:46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" So the faith that saves, the faith that saves the soul, is faith that does God's will. When Jesus sent the apostles out under the Great Commission, He told them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." When one has faith to do that, to do what Jesus commanded, then salvation results. When people believed and asked, "What shall we do?" God's answer was, and is, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." Faith which saves the soul does that. For we read next in Acts 2 and verse 41, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." When your faith leads you to do what Jesus commanded, it is then faith unto the saving of the soul. But until you act, until you do the work that God has commanded, then it is not a saving faith. It is a dead faith, a barren faith. So truly, faith is the center of the Christian's life. It leads one to Christ, it sustains one in Christ, and it'll take one to the Father through Christ. For it is written, "The righteous shall live by faith," Romans 1 and verse 17. Friend, do you have the faith that's necessary to be saved? It is a faith which trusts, believes, relies upon God. But it's a faith that you must obey what God has commanded. For only in obedience do we have the saving faith that is necessary to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Thank you for joining us. My name is Garland Robinson.